We've come today to Luke chapter 19, verse 11 in the broadcast, and let us say that we appreciate so much your tuning in to the program. We hope that you can open up your own Bible to Luke chapter 19, verse 11, and we're going to begin reading right there. Here is where the Bible says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." The Bible says that the parable that follows is a parable that Jesus spoke, first of all, because he was nigh or near to Jerusalem. Now remember that Jerusalem is the place where many of these passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, many of these Old Testament prophecies are going to come to a head. They're going to be fulfilled. So when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to have this conflict or this showdown with the Jewish leadership and so many things that he has been looking forward to, that he has been working toward in his life, and that the Old Testament has been pointing to for all those years. These things are going to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. So he speaks this parable as he's getting closer to Jerusalem, and as we look at the parable, it's going to make more sense to us, and we're going to understand why these words are here. But there's another reason. Another reason why that he spoke this parable is because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Now, when you look at this, you think, well, but didn't John the Baptist say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand"? Matthew 3, verse 2. Didn't John the Baptist say that the kingdom of God was near? Yes, he did. And you might say, didn't Jesus preach the same thing? Didn't Jesus say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand"? Matthew 4, verse 17. Yes, he did. And didn't Jesus say in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel"? Yes, he did. And he also said in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, that there were some standing there who would not taste of death. They would not die till they had seen the kingdom of God come with power. Jesus taught in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, that the kingdom would come within the lifetime of some of the people that were standing right there listening to him. Well, if Jesus said that the kingdom was near, and if John the Baptist said that the kingdom was near, then what's wrong with what these people are thinking? Is there anything wrong with thinking that the kingdom of God was near? Well, it wasn't the timing that they were off on. That wasn't the problem. Because John the Baptist and Jesus both had told them that the kingdom of God was near. The problem was that these people had a different idea about what the kingdom would be than what John the Baptist had and what Jesus had. You see, these people, and I'm talking about the Jewish leadership, and I'm talking about the Jews as a whole, I'm talking about the everyday average Jew in the first century, believed that the kingdom of God that was promised in the Old Testament was going to be a political empire. They thought that the prophecies in the Old Testament about the kingdom coming were prophecies about a revival of Old Testament Israel. And so when they looked for the Messiah, they were looking for the new king, the next king. And not just any king, but the most powerful king over the most powerful empire or nation that had ever existed. So when they looked at Jesus, they thought that he was the king of Israel in a political sense. So they were looking for an earthly leader on an earthly throne over an earthly kingdom. They didn't realize that the kingdom that John the Baptist preached and the kingdom that Jesus Christ preached was a spiritual kingdom. And of course, that spiritual kingdom is the church. So when the Bible says they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, they were looking at it from this standpoint. They were looking at it from the point of view that they were going to be an independent nation once again, that Roman power would be thrown off, that the shackles would be loosed, and they would become the powerful empire like they were in the Old Testament, but even more so. So you see, the news of the Messiah and the talk about the Messiah coming and even being there caused different reactions from different people. In the Jews as a whole, and I'm talking about the common and the average Jew, It caused a great deal of excitement because this is not only what they expected, this is what they wanted. They were very anxious for it. They were tired of Roman rule, and they wanted this kingdom of God to come immediately. It's not just something that they believed in. It's something that they very much wanted. And so the Jews wanted the kingdom of God to come, and they wanted it to appear immediately. That was the excitement. That was the thrill that was in the air in the first century when Jesus was here. And so they wanted Jesus to be their king. Now, on the part of the Romans, what you find is that there was some concern. For instance, when Jesus was born, the Bible says that King Herod wanted to know from the Jewish leaders where their Messiah would be born. And they said, in Bethlehem. Why is this Roman ruler concerned about where the Messiah is going to be born? Does he want to serve the Messiah? Is he going to believe in Jesus? Well, no, that's not the issue. That's not why he's asking the question. He knew that these Jews believed that they were going to have a new ruler and that they were going to rise in power again. And so he didn't want any kind of rival king to him. He didn't want any kind of threat. He didn't want any kind of competition. And so he asked, "Where's your Messiah going to be born?" because he wanted to get rid of any possibility of a new king. And so on the part of the Romans, there was some concern. I'm not saying that there was a great deal of fear. I'm not saying that they believed that the Jews and the Israelites would have a nation and a military especially so powerful that they would defeat the Romans. But they didn't want an extra problem. They didn't want a situation where these Jews rebelled and caused them grief and caused them to be distracted from the other projects that they had. So it would be something that they would like to avoid. That's why you find that some of these Roman rulers are interested to some extent in all this talk about a Messiah and all this talk about a messianic kingdom. So the Bible says in verse 11 that these are the reasons why he spoke this parable. So the parable begins in verse 12. And here the Bible says that Jesus taught these words. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. It's very interesting there that he leaves, he goes into a far country, and he does that to receive for himself a kingdom and then to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, this was a scene that would be quite common back in New Testament times where you had the owner of property and he has these stewards or these managers to take care of his property while he's gone. The Bible says in verse 14 that there was a problem. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, obviously, what we've got going on here, folks, is the attitude that these Jews had toward Jesus Christ and the attitude actually that they had toward God and toward the law of Moses, their Old Testament scriptures. Now, I know that the Jewish leaders said that they highly revered the Old Testament. Well, that's what they said, but that's not what they practiced because they did not practice what they preached. And here is the sentiment that many of these Jews had, and I believe that it represents the sentiment of many people today. It's found in verse 14. We will not have this man to reign over us. We're not going to have this man to tell us what to do. We're on our own. We're going to do what we think is best and what we want to do, and we don't want him telling us what we have to do and what we should do. Now I ask you, is that not the thinking of a lot of people in our day and age? Almost 2,000 years after Jesus spoke these words, we find that this same kind of attitude exists today. And folks, it was around and it was common before Jesus Christ ever came to the earth. We find back in the Old Testament that people oftentimes had the attitude that they didn't want anybody telling them what to do. It reminds me of the people before the flood, the people that were destroyed in the flood. The Bible says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6, verse 5. It reminds me of Pharaoh back in the Old Testament. When Moses and Aaron came to him and they said, let my people go. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. It reminds me so much of what we read about in the time of the judges. In Judges chapter 21, verse 25, the Bible says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And so it is to this very day. Most people follow that same kind of reasoning because they just don't want anybody telling them what to do, and that even applies to God. So I'm simply saying here this morning that these words in verse 14 of Luke chapter 19, where the people say, "We will not have this man to reign over us. He's not going to be our king. He's not going to be our master. He is not going to tell us what we can do and what we can't do." That very attitude is here today, and people may or may not express it. In other words, they may not come out and say it just like these people did, but they show it in their lives because by their actions, they show that even God himself is not going to tell these people what to do. So we find again here in Luke chapter 19 a very practical lesson and a very good reminder that people haven't changed, that the world is the same as far as the ways that people have about them are concerned. And what we want to do tomorrow, Lord willing, is to go into this parable even more. We want to look at it, we want to read it, we want to think about it, and look at all the lessons that we can learn from it. So I want to encourage you to be reading Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 11, and read all the way through the rest of this chapter, and we'll come back, Lord willing, tomorrow and talk about these things and apply these lessons to our lives. I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's been such a joy to study with you. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.